It's time to talk UK sports with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Join in the discussion by tweeting your questions to @LeachReport or email leachreport@gmail.com. And you can call 877-904-1080. Now, along with an outstanding lineup of guests and broadcast to the most passionate fan base in America, the Big Blue Nation, here's the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of the Leach Report as we head into the Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully a long weekend for, well, most of you guys. Won't be all of you. Some of you will have to work, I'm sure. But hopefully a long weekend for many of you to, I guess, unofficially kick off summer is what they always say for Memorial Day, right? Big game tonight for Kentucky softball. We'll talk about that here to lead off in just a second. But coming up on the show today, we'll chat with our buddy Dick Gabriel to lead off, Jeff Drummond from Cats Illustrated, and we'll finish up with Coach Darren Henshaw and talk UK quarterbacks as the countdown rolls on toward the start of the 2019 football season. So that's our guest lineup for today. Let's jump right into the Wildcat News of the Day, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. It's Kentucky and Washington in the Super Regional of NCAA softball tonight out in Seattle. 9 o'clock Eastern is the first pitch on ESPN2 is where you will find it. And Kentucky needs to win two games out there to advance to the College World Series, which would be, I think, for the second time under Coach Rachel Lawson. So good luck to UK softball tonight. A couple of, or several UK football notes, actually. Xavier Peters tweeting yesterday about his appeal to the NCAA for immediate eligibility. Wants to be closer to his one-year-old son who's in the Cincinnati area. And as on the surface, this one looks like a no-brainer for the NCAA. It's the kind of request they have granted in the past. So I would think there's good reason to be optimistic that Xavier Peters will be able to suit up this season for Kentucky rather than having to sit out as a transfer. Bo Allen, the future Kentucky quarterback, telling the Rivals.com site that he believes Vito Tisdale, four-star recruit from the Bowling Green area, is going to join him in Lexington. He is working hard on recruiting more talent to join his class. 24/7 Sports had an interview with Tisdale in which he just gushed with praise about Kentucky football and Mark Stoops. He said, 8 years ago, I would have never played at Kentucky. And that interview just is a good illustration of what Stoops and company have done to, as he said it when he arrived here, change the culture and how that is paying off now. Josh Allen, going to be sidelined for a short time. No big deal. It's a bruised knee that he suffered in a workout in Jacksonville. And they said they can be cautious. There's no games obviously coming up, so no reason to push him back in a hurry. He has also signed his contract. Reports say it's 4 years, $22.7 million, with a $14.6 million signing bonus. So happy for Josh and his family. Report says that Kentucky has lined up a game for the 2022 season against Northern Illinois, perennially one of the better teams in the Mid-American Conference. More benchback seating coming to Kroger Field. So when they finish this work over the course of the summer, at that point, all but the student section, all the seats but the ones in the student section will have backs to them. It looks really cool when they – and I think it will, I should say, will look really cool. It looks cool for the ones they have now, and just when it's almost the entire stadium, we'll have those blue backs on the seats that will look really sharp. The Warriors are saying they anticipate DeMarcus Cousins will return at some point in the NBA Finals, which will start next week. Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals now coming up Saturday after Toronto won in Milwaukee last night. So that series is going to extend at most into Monday, and then the finals, I think, start next Thursday. So at some point they're expecting DeMarcus to come back. He is doing some practicing with the team right now. There's a story at the stadium, a new site that's popped up in the last couple of years, analysis of recruiting expenses. They focus a lot on Kentucky And here's a shock to you. I'm sure that Kentucky spends a lot of money on recruiting, and they use private planes a lot. Wow. I'm stunned by that. It's a lot of money, a lot more than they previously spent. And they're also recruiting a lot better than they ever recruited before. Consistently number one or two classes. I would guess Mark Stoops is spending a good bit more on recruiting than was previously spent. If it's getting a return on investment, and it's not just, by the way, wins and losses, there's things like contributions to the school. There's a lot of measurements that go into having more success in high-profile sports. My daughter was visiting colleges a couple of years ago, and one of them was Butler up in Indianapolis. And at the orientation session, the young lady who was talking, telling all the parents and the prospective students about Butler, said that Butler was primarily a school that was attended by kids from the state of Indiana until 2010 and 11. And then now that they have, at that point, a couple of years ago, 35 students from 35 different countries now that attended Butler. Somebody raised their hand. What happened? She said, we went to the Final Four 2 years in a row. So there is a significant impact from the success that comes from doing better in recruiting. Let's get to our first break. Gabriel will join us when we come right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
16 after the top of the hour, it is the Leach Report. We welcome in Dick Gabriel from the UK Sports Network, the Big Blue Insider Show, WKYT-TV. Anybody else giving you a check that we should mention?
Not that I know of, but I'll get back to you.
You're open to new offers.
I understand this is a free appearance.
It is.
Well, not exactly, because you come on my show, so it's much appreciated.
It's reciprocated, yes. So we're willing to double your pay. How about that?
Sounds good.
Let's start with a little softball. Kentucky is out in Washington, and it is something for the Big Blue Nation to get behind this weekend. Certainly my knowledge of college softball is limited, but I mean, with the experience Kentucky's had and being in super regionals the last 2 years, that there's at least a good chance they could get out of there with two wins.
They've done it before. They did it in 2014, as you know, and
UCLA,
they had to win
then,
at
right?
UCLA, which is one of the stellar programs in America. Got a big grand slam that was just barely, I could still see it, going past the fair foul pole. But anyhow, the program's been there, but none of these kids has. However, they've never had a senior class who has flirted so much with going to the World Series. I mean, a couple of years ago, they were two games away. Last year, they were one game away. They went out, people forget last year, they went to Oregon and actually won a game, took a game from the Ducks, so they're one win from the World Series. So, yeah, these kids are used to not only the pressure of that super regional, atmosphere, and there's a lot of it, but they have done the travel thing, so it doesn't bother them much. So they've got a shot. You're right.
You've covered Rachel Lawson through the time that she's been here. She's really good at her job. What is it that you observe that makes her good at what she does?
She had, and one of the privileges I've had of I went to that World Series and had a chance to just sit and talk baseball and softball with her. And she's obviously really, really smart and works her rear end off. But she's got a plan. She sticks to it. And one of the things I like the most, and I talk about this all the time on my show, is the fact that she essentially recruits kids from successful programs. And obviously, by definition, they're some of, if not the best player on their team. So these are kids who know how to win already. And so when they get to Kentucky, they expect to win. And you and I have covered football for a long, long time. And, they've because of the sheer numbers in the recruiting game, you can't always do that in football. You've got kids who are great prospects, but maybe from smaller programs. But when you have a collection of superior athletes who already know what it takes – within themselves to succeed, and then the chemistry's good, you know, you're way ahead of the game. And then she just simply puts the right people in the right places. And one other thing, Tom, she makes it a point to recruit elite catchers. And that is so important, as you well know, in baseball and softball.
You know, you listening to you talk about what Coach Lawson has done with her program, there's some phrases that popped up that made me think of Mark Stoops in Kentucky football right now. You know, having a plan, sticking to it. We're chatting with Justin Rowland on the show yesterday, and I thought he made a good point that you can go back to the 2016 breakout season for Kentucky, and a lot of the turnaround, or some of the turnaround, can be pointed to the improvement of the offensive line and how that group took control of the line of scrimmage in that 2016 season, helped give Kentucky an identity, and now Kentucky is recruiting in the offensive and defensive lines and producing at a level probably a lot of people didn't think they'd ever be able to.
No, and just, you know, look at the Justin Rogers, the kid who just committed. Mm-hmm. Now, they got to sign him. But last night on our show, we had John Young, the young man from Louisville, from Christian Academy, the same school that produced Max Godby. You know, and he is talking about how he's already recruiting other kids. So, I think that I'm sure that happens now, Tom, in all the sports, softball, football, whatever. Hey, I signed with Kentucky. I know you're talking to them, or, you know, we met on our recruiting visit. Let's play together, that kind of thing. And we all know how much that's happened with football and how effective that's been. And really, you got to give Drew Barker a lot of credit. He kind of got that rolling Mark Stoops. And it's just, you know, taken on a life of its own, really. There's a lot of momentum when it comes to social media and things like that. But yeah, it's still happening with football.
It's just there's a definite buzz right now that, you know, and it's no improvement curve is going to be steadily upward. There are going to be, you know, setbacks. I think back to the end of the 2017 season. They still got back to a bowl, but there was just a really bad finish to the regular season with the loss at home to Lamar Jackson in Louisville. But it turned out to just be a setback because they regrouped out of that to play really well in the bowl game, and then that led into you know, a triumphant 2018 season. And they seem to collectively the program rolls with the punches pretty well. You know, when you get a setback, it's going to be, you know, 2-3 steps forward, but there is going to be the occasional step back, but it doesn't let them knock them off course.
No, you're right, and as I always tell people who ask me, has this team or that program turned the corner? I say, you know, you always have to look behind, look back and see, and look way down the road and see when did they actually turn the corner. I think that's legit for football. And what's interesting about this softball team is as late as the middle of the season, they were struggling. They dropped 3 at home to Missouri and they got whacked a couple of times. But, and I brought that up to some of the players and they said, oh, well, we don't like to talk about that. I said, but it helped you. They said, yes, it did. Because what it did was underscore their weaknesses and where they needed to get better. I think that Louisville game did that for the Kentucky team as well.
Talk about Dick Gabriel. You can hear him nightly on our flagship station for our show, WLAP in Lexington, which is the Big Blue Insider show, at Big Blue Insider 1 on Twitter, which was with us on the UK football broadcasts in the fall. I saw your page for Facebook, I think it was yesterday, about something you guys were doing on your show last night on underappreciated Kentucky. Was it basketball players or just Kentucky athletes in general?
Basketball players. And actually, we're going to talk about it tonight. I posted it yesterday.
Okay, but, so it hadn't
yeah,
come up
thank
yet.
You. I can solicit answers tonight, either to my Facebook page or call a show. I want to know who people think. And I said, give me your top five. It can be your top guy. Underappreciated, but my caveat is, they couldn't have been a first-team all-conference or all-America because that means they really were appreciated. And we've already gotten some great, great responses, you know, the Anthony Epps's and the Cliff Hawkins and Mike DeCourcy of Sporting News, you know, one of the premier basketball writers in America, chimed in with Jared Prickett, which is a great answer.
Oh.
So, you know, there's no wrong answer, although somebody else wrote in Keith Bogans that I said he was, you know, really appreciated his senior year, but prior to that, not so much.
I always think of the late Ed Davender as one. He got overshadowed because he was here at the same time of Rick's.
Yeah, that name's going to come up as well. You know, I this kind of thing to me is a lot of fun because it brings back a lot of memories.
Absolutely. And, you know, you go back and you find those guys. What about in the Cal area, just off the top of your head, anybody that comes to mind?
No, I haven't sifted through those names yet. I was working on that when your producer called me. But
you know,
it just seems like with
mind.
Social media, there's so much out there now that it's hard to overlook anybody except for one name, Dominic Hawkins.
Yeah. Oh, here's another one, and this guy's still playing right now. Eric Bledsoe, maybe, because, you know, he was with two larger-than-life personalities in John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins on his team.
Sounds good to me. I'll add him to the list. That's a good call.
Good stuff. It'll be interesting. I'll be listening tonight. And,
great.
Follow on the Facebook page as well. I'm sure folks can go there and post suggestions too, right?
Yep.
Good stuff. It's Big Blue Insider on Facebook. Thank you, Gabe.
Thanks, brother.
Going to get to a break. When we come back, Jeff Drummond will join us from CatsIllustrated.com a little later. UK quarterbacks coach, co-offensive coordinator Darren Henshaw will be with us. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
27 past the top of the hour. Jeff Drummond joins us from CatsIllustrated.com. We'll jump in with a little recruiting. Jeff, we lost Jeff. So, tell you what, we're just about a minute or and a half here before the bottom of the hour break, Shannon. Just reconnect with him, and we'll lead off with him coming out of the break at the bottom of the hour. I'll take this opportunity to focus on our Tito's Vodka Race of the Week. We're going to make it the Paradise Creek Stakes from Belmont Park because you got a big favorite in there, Fog of War from Chad Brown's barn. Horse was 2-for-2 last year and then was put on the shelf. So coming back for his 3-year-old debut, and there's a couple of horses in there that I think could upset the favorite. One is a Claiborne Farm horse, Mucho, who was one of the top 2-year-olds last year, now coming back off a brief layoff and making his turf debut. And this horse is bred to love the turf, and Bill Mott knows what to do with a good turf horse. So I think Mucho is a live contender for an upset there. And Sol's Pole Setter, who really jumped up significantly, about 15, 16 points on the buyer scale in his win last time at Keeneland and for Brad Cox's barn, and that barn's going awfully well right now. So I think either one of those two has a shot to upset the big favorite in the Paradise Creek Stakes up in New York tomorrow. Really good weekend of racing all across the country heading into Memorial Day on Monday. So that's our Tito's Vodka Race of the Week. We're halfway home on this edition of the Leach Report. You can see the links to the stories that we talk about here on the show on the Bud Light Leacher Report page at TomLeachKY.com. While you're there, take a look at our All Resilient team. You can click on the link for that page and see the latest group of 19 inspiring Kentucky young people that we honored last month at the Kentucky High School Athletic Directors Association banquet. We are going to come back with Jeff Drummond from Cats Illustrated, Coach Darren Henshaw, too, in the second half of the Leach Report Radio Network.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Jeff Drummond joins us from CatsIllustrated.com. Saying at the in our opening segment, Jeff, there was this story about, I think, from the stadium or Watch Stadium, whatever the site is, did an analysis of recruiting budgets, and they what they could get from public universities. They can't get them from private universities, so they couldn't look at Duke's expenditures and teams of like that. But they found that Kentucky spends a lot on recruiting, a lot of private planes. I just didn't see anything in there that was particularly that I didn't already expect or know. And if you were spending a lot of money on recruiting and not having any success at it, then you'd have a problem. But if you're doing well at it, then what's the problem?
Right. It seems like it's the efficiency number is probably pretty high for that money spent
yeah.
on Kentucky's end compared to to some others, you know, that had invested quite a bit of money in their efforts and maybe not turning out a top five or a top 10 class every year.
And I was saying, I would suspect that the recruiting budget has increased in Mark Stoops' time, and in part because they're doing well and they can get into other places now. And so that kind of is the part of the price of success.
Yeah, part of Kentucky's philosophy, and this goes back over all the coaches, really the last four or five coaches they've had, is to recruit within that five-hour radius really hard, and that doesn't stretch your budget too much. But when you start piling up the wins like Stoops has, and especially coming off a year like last year, it just opens up some doors to you in other places. And they've also done a good job of filling some immediate needs from the JUCO ranks, and that requires you to kind of go outside of that area a little bit more. They've done, no matter how you slice it, they've done a really good job with it.
I was saying earlier that I would think Xavier Peters has a really strong case to win his immediate eligibility on appeal to the NCAA. Would you agree?
Well, initially I was a little bit skeptical of that, but the more you get in there and read and see how the NCAA has kind of changed their thinking a little bit in recent years, with that, maybe they have, and that would be an awfully big one for the Cats, because you see a guy there that could probably step in, and especially at his position, and not take too long to crack the rotation, at least the two deep, probably.
You know, and a guy like that could, in the short run, at least be a third down pass rush specialist for you until he mastered the whole defense.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of why I hate to put too much pressure on him to just say, instant starter and step right in. But when you've got some other guys who've been in the system and know what they're doing, but he's got the physical tools, you would think, to at least be that guy initially that you could get in there on the third down situations.
I saw where CBS Sports, I think it was, did an analysis of schedules in the SEC. I think they had Alabama with the easiest schedule, Kentucky with the second easiest in the coming year. I haven't looked at everybody else's to compare to Kentucky's, but certainly it's a break for Kentucky in that you trade a Texas A&M road game for an Arkansas home game. So that's a game that you lost last year that you would be favored to win this year, so that's a very good break in their favor. Otherwise, when it comes to doing preseason predictions, I usually have gotten to a point where I just stay away from it, because I know that one or two teams that you think are going to be good aren't as good as you thought, and then it'll go the other way as well.
Right, that was my initial thought as soon as I saw that, and people need that off-season content,
Sure.
to keep it going, and the schedule's always an easier one to talk about, but my first thought was exactly like you. There's one game on there every year that turns out harder than you thought it was going to be, and there's one that turns out that ends up a lot easier, and usually it's funny to look back on those from year to year, where the one that I typically say, okay, there's just no way they're going to win that one, Kentucky's either competitive or finds a way to win it, and it messes up the whole thing. And then there's one, like last year, I was so convinced that they were going to beat Tennessee, and that ended up being the one where, they weren't even very competitive in it.
Yeah. You look at the quarterbacks coming into this season, places like Mississippi State, Missouri, they lost significant starters at the QB position. So they could, really drop off further than you would think. Or if they hit on the next guys, turns out to be even better, could be a tougher game than you think.
Yeah, or a guy, emerges that maybe he's got a certain style of play that gives you problems. With Missouri, they a pretty good guy there that they're replacing, but not knowing much about who's going to be next in line, maybe he's somebody that just gives you an X's and O's issue, and they end up being better than expected.
You know, speaking of Missouri, one of the most probably underappreciated stats from last season, I thought it was not allowing that quarterback to get one first down in the entire second half of the game out in Columbia, because one first down in the second half would have probably kept Kentucky from winning the game.
Yeah, I wasn't old enough to really appreciate the teams in the late 70s that Kentucky had that had those dominant defenses, but that was the best defensive performance that I've seen, at least in my professional career of watching Kentucky football. And I still go back. I actually rewatched that, kept it on the DVR and watched it again just one day when I didn't have much to do. And, it was incredible. I still don't know how they did it, looking back on it. And probably, you know, all things considered, may have been the game of the year for Kentucky.
Oh, absolutely.
Considering what it enabled them to be able to accomplish and to be able to play in the Citrus Bowl against Penn State.
Yeah, it's the kind of game that too many Kentucky football fans for too long have seen stolen away from Kentucky, where you outplayed the opponent and they just found a way to win, or a few circumstances conspired in their favor at the right time. And, you know, this was one where, you know, part of it was how well that defense played. Part of it was, you know, Lynn Bowden stepping up and asking to return a punt. You know, you get a key penalty on Missouri after an interception, just a lot of things that broke Kentucky's way. But then you have to be able to have the skill to take advantage of those breaks when they happen for you.
Absolutely. And that's one of those that, you know, like you say, if one thing goes against Kentucky during that week, we probably forget about that great defensive performance and nobody – you know, really talks about it. It would be kind of one of those situations where, well, yeah, that's what happens with Kentucky football from the past.
Jeff, I appreciate the time. Thank you much. Have a good holiday weekend.
All right. You too, Tom.
It's Jeff Drummond. You can read him at catsillustrated.com. Ahead into a break. When we come back, Coach Darren Henshaw will join us on the Leach Report.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
One of our listeners, Brandon, tweets in that Kelly Bryant transferred to Missouri, so he should be their starter, Brandon thinks. And I think he's right. But the point is, it is a change. It is a new player. Change can be positive. Change can sometimes be negative. So we don't yet know how well or how poorly that will work out. Joining us now to talk about quarterbacks here at Kentucky is Coach Darren Henshaw, QB's coach, co-offensive coordinator for the Cats. And we want to talk about the new guy in the room, Sawyer Smith. But let's start with Terry Wilson and what Terry's doing now, Coach, over the course of the summer to put himself in position to be as good as he wants to be and you guys need him to be this fall.
Yeah, I tell you, we had a really good spring and we really worked on mechanics and, you know, just defining, you know, how to throw the football better. And we had some NFL guys come in and talk to us and it was really good. And Terry really embraced it and, you know, really started to work on the fine tuning how he's throwing the football and to make it more of a habit. And again, just to get his mechanics and his footwork and where his lead shoulder's going, everything where it becomes so natural in a game environment. Because what happens when you get in the game environment, you know, you always revert back to what you've always done. So this spring, he really improved that. And you can see in the spring game, he had a very good spring game. And this summer, so far in May, you know, the homework I gave him, because they're not here right now with us, you know, for about 3 weeks in May, is, again, to work on those fundamentals and, you know, working on, again, pushing the ball back, you know, doing a great job of getting his lead shoulder to his target, you know, doing a great job of opening your toe, taking a 3 to 6 inch step, you know, where you're not overstriding, and just continue to, in a big thing, what I call fishtail, which is to when you drop, to drop away from where your first read is. And again, he's worked really hard on that, and that's what he's working on right now. And this is kind of a recharge time for him, because as soon as June 1 gets going here, we're going to have everybody coming in, and it's going to be 8 weeks of work before we get ready for the season.
Where did you see the most improvement in his throwing of the ball from last season to when he left you at the end of spring?
Well, what he's worked very, you know, and again, this is some of the fundamentals of again, not false-stepping. And he did a great job this spring of, again, not false-stepping with his left foot. The other thing is getting his lead shoulder to his target. And he did a good job last season of throwing to his left because, it's natural to have your lead shoulder going to your left. But going to his right, a lot of times he wouldn't get that lead shoulder over there. And he did a great job this spring of learning that getting your lead shoulder to the target is so important. And again, we really emphasize that after going back and watching all the film. He's done a good job of hitting his checkdowns. He's done a good job of staying in the pocket and going through his progression. And again, we've amped up more of his progression, because he's going from your sophomore year to your junior year, you take your biggest jump. So we put a little bit more on in the spring, and he got better as the spring went on. And again, we're going to continue to do that and continue to see, to push him to his limits as best he can be for next season.
A phrase you used there, false stepping. Elaborate a little bit for fans on what that means and how it affects a quarterback's throw.
When you take a drop, the first thing that you want to do is, if you're a right-handed quarterback, is you want to take your right foot back and get it to 90 degrees. And again, if you're throwing to your right, that's what I call fishtail, you like to pull it past 90 degrees, so that gets your lead shoulder to your target as you drop. If you're throwing to your left, you don't want to go quite to 90 degrees. You want to take that right foot, and again, that'll help you throw the ball to your left. And again, Terry last year, would pick his left foot up first, which causes his shoulders to stay square instead of getting it perpendicular to the line of scrimmage. Because that's what we studied Andrew Luck, we've studied Peyton Manning and different guys that have had a lot of success, and Tom Brady, and you can see that the first step that when you come back, you want to get your lead shoulder going straight. And again, at your first read is where you want it to be going, but at worst, you want to get it going downhill. You don't want it going to the sideline.
Let's talk about the new guy in the room, Sawyer Smith, transferring in from Troy to give you guys more depth at the quarterback position after Gunner left. I'm sure you've watched a lot of tape of Sawyer. What are some of the things that stand out to you?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that stands out is, he was in a backup role there. The starter gets hurt, is out for the season. So he has to come in and be the starter, and, he started 8 games for him. He played in all 13. So he was part of their offensive scheme every week. And so that was part of it. And so he played in all 13 games and then led his team to a 10-win season, so he had a lot of experience, a lot of reps, also got MVP of the bowl game that they were in at the end of the year, which that's not an easy thing to do. So, he felt like he had really progressed and got better. Then went and competed this spring with their original starter, and they went back to the original starter. And so he was in another backup role. And again, a great, great kid, great team kid. And, with the new portal, which is literally crazy with quarterbacks. And I think, that talk radio, that's all you talk about now is,
yes,
is where all these quarterbacks are going. It's insane. But, that he thought there might be an option to go to another school that could maybe use his services as a guy that was an MVP of a bowl game that won 10 games last year and was part of that. And, we were in need of a guy that had some leadership, good leadership qualities, somebody that's won and has a lot of reps at the position. What a good match for us. So for him to be able to come in here and compete and then have an opportunity, he's a big kid, great attitude, team kid. I think he'll be a guy that our fans will really, really like.
What one or two qualities that stood out to you about his skill set?
He could run the ball very successful. They used him in different third down situations. You know, that was his role. And then when he became the starter, he did a very good job on the deep ball, completing the deep balls down the field. And they opened up the offense with him because they had to. And he ended up doing a very good job. He's a very good zone read guy. He can pull the ball on defensive ends, and he has speed, and he's big and thick and can run. So, you know, that's who we're getting. My goal is to, when we do get him in here, is to, again, to continue to work on his passing, all the mechanics that I just got talking about with Terry. That's what we're going to go implement with him and get him ready for the season as quickly as we can when he gets here.
Back to Terry, a lot of the things is probably equivalent to what a swing coach is doing with a top level golfer. It's just some very fine points, right?
Yes, that's all it is. It's literally, you know, Terry held the ball a lot of times in the middle of his body in last season, and when we went and looked at it, you know, you push the ball back 3 inches from there, and now it's at the back number. And what that does is it'll get the ball out faster. You have a shorter distance to pull the ball back, and your lead shoulder naturally starts to fall towards your target better. So just those little things you got to make it a habit. So those are things that we've been working on. And you could see, we just finished our drill tape and, you know, of all spring, and you could just see him getting better and better and better, on all the drills that we worked on. And then, you know, the biggest thing is to take it into the scrimmage situations. And then, again, he finished the spring very good. And, again, this summer is going to be big for him to continue to work on those habits and to continue to make them where they're just natural. And then he just has to worry about playing the game.
It's interesting stuff. Coach, I appreciate it. You and your family have a nice Memorial Day holiday.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much, Tom.
Coach Darren Henshaw, quarterback's coach, co-OC for Kentucky football, and we'll wrap up this edition of the Leach Report when we come right back. Another slice of Wildcat history, and it's a birthday today. It's a player that was mentioned earlier, Anthony Epps. Happy birthday today. We mentioned him earlier, and Gabe did, when we were talking about underappreciated Kentucky basketball players, something Nick Gabriel's going to be talking about on his Big Blue Insider show tonight. Appreciate you guys tuning us in today. Coming up on Monday, it'll be a best of show for the holiday. And then we'll be back live on Tuesday with Larry and Kyle Tucker. And hope you guys have a great weekend. Fire up the grill, jump in a pool, whatever it's going to be to get the unofficial start of summer going. Go to a movie. We need to get Mike DeCourcy on and give us movie reviews for the summer. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week on The Leach Report.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on The Leach Report Radio Network.